presidential race gets covered like a sporting event. Two teams compete against each other. There's lots of coverage, but what most Americans don't hear about is that there are other people in the race. In a few minutes, we'll meet three of them, hear their ideas. Do they have better ideas than Obama and Romney? I think so in some cases, though I think some of them have worse ideas. First, why should we even care about third-party candidates? They probably won't win. Matt Welch and Teresa Amato say we should care because, well, I'll let them explain why. Welch is the author of Declaration of Independence, a book that suggests independence can fix what's wrong with America. And Amato ran two presidential campaigns for Ralph Nader and wrote Grand Illusion, the myth of voter choice in a two-party tyranny. So a two-party tyranny? What do you mean?
That the two parties, the major Republican and Democratic parties, have stacked the deck against third-party and minor party candidates, independents,
how?
Others who... Oh, from everything, starting with the ballot access laws. The number one problem for almost every minor party candidate or independent is, how do I get on the ballot to present myself as a choice?
You just have to get a bunch of signatures, show you're popular.
Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of signatures in some cases.
What? Really? Millions?
Well, if you're running for president, you might have to get 2 million signatures in order to protect yourself from all kinds of people who will try to knock you off the ballot to prevent you from being a candidate, lest you interrupt the predictable outcome.
Matt, you say if the system were more open, America would be better off? Why?
If nothing else, that we'd have different ideas to be discussed on the national stage. When two parties alternate between having power, they basically govern in pretty similar ways. And so outra ideas, and I'm pronouncing that wrong, ending the drug war, for example, or opposing bailouts, for example, ideas that are actually not discussed very often on the presidential stage would be discussed in a way that would stimulate a lot more healthy of a discourse in this country.
They must not get discussed because most Americans don't like these ideas.
Untrue. Bailouts have been consistently unpopular on both sides of the aisle for a long time now. There are certain things that politicians do once they're in power, and they try very hard not to have to face American public opinion on them. And having third parties and having the discussions that come from that is a way to force those kind of conversations and hopefully break the logjam of terrible policy that we have.
Now, you lean libertarian. Some people say a vote for Gary Johnson will take away Romney's chances, make America worse off. You ran Ralph Nader's campaign, and people accuse you of electing Bush because Nader hurt the Democrat.
Yes, they do.
Do you feel bad?
No, not at all. That's the job. It's the job of third-party candidates, independent candidates, to put other issues, majoritarian issues, like removal from Afghanistan, the Afghanistan war, raising maybe the minimum wage so that it's adjusted for inflation, being able to go after corporate crime, fraud, and abuse. These are issues that should be part of the political discourse, but often are not. When you look at all of the hurdles that third-party candidates have to go through just to be able to present...
What beside the signatures?
Oh, besides the signatures, lack of media coverage. So bravo for you for having this show. The inability to get into the cartel of the Commission on Presidential Debates that keeps independents and third parties, since Ross Perot, from presenting their ideas
in the debate. The debate rules say you have to have 15% of the popular vote. Seems reasonable. I mean, we're a two-party country. Let these guys debate. We don't want these fringe. We saw what happened in the Republican primary when you had 10 candidates. You hardly got a feel for an argument.
Ralph Nader got 2.7% of the vote in 2000. There are 15,000 journalists who show up to every one of these major party political conventions, which, by the way, are subsidized by taxpayer dollars to the tune of $100 million apiece. So of all those 15,000 journalists, how many journalists were covering a candidate who got 2.7% of the vote and arguably tipped the election? How many journalists cover them? How many news organizations had a reporter? One. It was called workingforchange.com. None of you have heard of it. I worked for it. I was covering the campaign at the time. It's amazing the kind of status quo existence bias, the horse race bias that people have. So, yes, having more people involved in the debate is a way to open that up from the beginning, and it gets the political parties out of the position of controlling who gets to come in. Why do they get to control the access?
Well, they don't make the debate decision. There's this independent commission. They don't set the rule. I guess they do set the rules for the petitions.
They absolutely set the rules, and they've stacked the rules. So we haven't had an independent or minor party candidate in the presidential debate since Ross Perot. And,
Ross Perot got a lot of votes. We have a graph. He got 18.9% of the vote here in 92. He ran again in 96. He got less. John Anderson, 6%. Ralph Nader, less than 3%. The Libertarian, last election, less than 0.5%.
But it's a chicken and egg thing. If there's no media, if there's no participation in debates, then these parties and these candidates can't have attention to be able to present their ideas and talk about their platform. The word party is not in the United States Constitution. It is not a situation where the Democrat and Republican parties are entitled to the votes. They have to earn their votes, just like every candidate, including the third party candidate.
Let's remember, half of voting age Americans don't vote, right? So what about those people? Are they being represented out there? And the other thing, which we've talked about before, is that people who affiliate as independents is now the largest group of people in the electorate. They do not like the
Republicans. More than Republicans or Democrats.
It's around 40.
And growing.
And growing. It's around 40% of the population. If you ask them, you know, which party do you feel more affinity with, they say none of the above. We don't like either one.
So why don't these third-party candidates, and we're going to meet some of them, well, how come there's no groundswell of people voting for them? Bob Barr getting a tiny percentage of the vote last time. The Libertarian Party candidate.
I think there's a couple of reasons. One is that people want to feel like that their vote is affecting things. It's understandable. It's human. I want to be able to affect the Supreme Court nominating process. And if I vote for Gary Johnson, how is that going to do anything, right? Another part is that there is a structural impediment out there to having them be involved at all in the debate. So this affects things.
Yeah, there's a great group. OpenDebates.org is talking about hosting other debates to have everybody in the debate. There's other groups that are working to make sure that ballot access have fair laws and that we take a look at some of the structural difficulties that we're talking about. The Electoral College, for one, the way we finance campaigns. Right now we have candidates in the entire system marinating in corporate cash. And so we have to discuss some of these other issues.
And in government cash that they get. What's called public financing. I would call it government taking money by force from people and giving it to the big candidates. And in 2004, Ralph Nader got $900,000 in public government. I didn't want to give it to him, but it was given to Nader. Of course, Bush got $75 million, and Kerry got $75
million. Right, but there's a reason to have public financing, and the reason to have public financing is the same reason we have public parks, public schools. When we have something that's a common good and not a product or a service for purchase, we should be thinking about how do we make this common good available to all so that people can participate and that you don't have to have a billionaire's Rolodex in order to get a vote or get on the ballot in the United States.
I want to let you answer that.
I think the problem with that is that it ends up how it ends up, 75 to 1 for the existing person using our money. And I think that's not the proper way to do it. You can, in this world of PayPal and instantaneous money bombs and things like that, you can raise money and not have to take my money to do it. But there's another
reason. And I resent that the political class is using force to support themselves.
But there's another reason that we should think about why third parties aren't popular, which is that in these days, people are using the two-party process to shake things up, too, in ways that are interesting. This is happening more now on the Republican side with the Tea Party, with groups like Club for Growth, people who are primarying incumbent Republicans to try to change their behavior, to make them act more like they want to. It's beginning to happen a little bit on the Democratic side on issues like the drug war. There's a representative from El Paso who's going to go to Congress because he's good on the drug war and the incumbent was bad and Democrats were sick of that. So people are finding ways to use modern technology and kind of swarming towards single issues to make the two major parties behave a little bit differently, and I think that's an interesting movement.
So progress. Thank you, Matt Welch. Thank you, Teresa Amato.